Blog Talk Radio.
We are not just going to be waiting for legislation in order to make sure that we're providing Americans the kind of help that they need. I've got a pen and I've got a phone, and I can use that pen to sign executive orders and take executive actions and administrative actions that move the ball forward.
You know, Obamacare is really, I think, the worst thing that has happened in this nation since slavery. And it is, in a way, it is slavery, in a way, because it is making all of us subservient to the government. And it was never about health care, it was about control. And that's why when this administration took office, it didn't matter that the country was going off the cliff economically. All forces were directed toward getting this legislation passed. And why did they want to pass it so badly? Well, as I said the other night on television, Vladimir Lenin, one of the fathers of socialism and communism, said that socialized medicine is the keystone to the establishment of a socialist state.
Now more than ever before, the people are responsible for the character of their Congress. If that body be ignorant, reckless, and corrupt, it is because the people tolerate ignorance, recklessness, and corruption. 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 Until now. Now. Now.
You feel that? You better hold on.
Our pleasure cruise, where we are dedicated to the fight and the preservation of freedom regardless of the cost. Remembership makes freedom is not cheap, but we can't afford it. It's tyranny that we cannot afford. All right, you want to be a part of the program today, 646-716-7978. That's 646-716-7978. And as always, as long as there is one liberal on planet Earth, it is a very, very, very busy news day, and today is no exception. There's lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of very evil people out there that are just desperate to take away your freedom. So let's lift our jib and get this damn ship underway. All right, we are officially underway and heading out to sea, both to make shift colors. All right, Dr. Ben Carson was on O'Reilly last night. If you don't know who Dr. Ben Carson is, he was attacked by the IRS because he spoke out. He gives speeches and stuff. And then that very clip at the very beginning, that was Ben Carson on socialism. He's on Bill O'Reilly last night. Now, I'm sorry, but Bill O'Reilly has got to be one of the most obtuse individuals on television today. I don't like to watch him all that much. Because when as soon as people are trying to, it's all about him. It's never about the issue. It's never about the subject. It's always about him. When he interviewed the president, he does this all the time. It's, you know, before he talks about it, you know, what am I going to say? How is it going to look for me? You know, what are the questions? What should I ask him? And then he gets done and he analyzes it. Well, I could have done this and I should have said that and this and that. And I did this and I didn't want to say that because, I'd never get another interview. And it's all this. It's all about him. It's never about the issue. And that's the problem with too many people in this country. It's always about them. It's never about the goddamned issue. It's never about the frickin' problem. It's always about me, 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 which is a goddamn mindset and a goddamn culture that we need to get out of this frickin' country now. I've had enough. God almighty, stuff like that just sets me off. And being now that I'm about 90%. Well, why don't we go 91.5% in the memory of the 91.5% of the country who doesn't have a job? I'll be 91.5% today. I think I can muster that much. I'm not quite 100. It's snowing like we got whiteout conditions. I have never seen snowflakes in my life as big as I seen them this morning. Swear to God, they were well over 3 inches wide. They were huge. Never seen it before. It's beautiful. I love the snow. It's snowing like crazy. It's white everywhere. You can't see anything. And we're going to have this for the rest of the day, which is fine because I love the snow. And it's winter. It's all this global warming that we have out here. We got about a foot and a half running close to 2 feet of global warming out here now. But anyway, getting back to Bill O'Reilly and Dr. Ben Carson. So he's interviewing him, and he's responding to the very first clip that I played at the beginning. So, Mr. O'Reilly, if you mention Nazis, you're going to get hammered. Well, we've already explained that. Mr. O'Reilly doesn't get it. He's the most obtuse individual on television. He has to be. And he's not obtuse because he's stupid. He's not a stupid man. He's obtuse because he just doesn't listen. He doesn't pay attention. And I'm sick and tired of these people saying, well, I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I'm an independent. No, you're not an independent. You're an idiot. Independents are nothing more than Democrats who just want to have it both ways. Or they're just a whatever that just wants to have it both ways. I don't claim any party. It's not about parties. It's about issues. It has nothing to do with parties. So anyway, if you mention Mrs. O'Reilly talking to Mr. Carson, if you mention Nazis, you're going to get hammered. But what you said at the end there kind of intrigued me a bit. You said that if you believe it can't happen again, see, I don't believe Nazism could happen in the USA. Well, see, that's him being obtuse. He's not paying attention. He's not focused. If you do not believe that Nazism can happen in the United States, pay attention. It's happening now. They're not wearing swastikas. They're not wearing brown shirts. They're not wearing the two SS lightning bolts on their collars. You do not have to have the name Nazi to be a Nazi. Nazis come in every damn name you could possibly think of. It's tyranny. Any way you slice it, dice it, roll it up, and smoke it. Nazi is tyranny, period. But that's what he doesn't understand. He thinks by using the word Nazi, that means that, well, you know, you're saluting Hitler, you've got swastikas all over you. That's not a Nazi. Nazi is the National Socialist Party. That's Nazism. Not your swastikas, not your SS patches, not your Heil Hitlers. It's the act. It's tyranny. That is Nazism, Mr. O'Reilly. Maybe if you think once in a while rather than talk, maybe some things might come to you. But he asks the dumbest questions. He really does. He's missing the point. This guy, this Ben Carson, I mean, he kept it cool. You know, which I got to appreciate this guy. And he's not out, you know, really bad-mouthing anybody. He's just out simply telling the truth. He's just an American like anybody else. And he's not afraid to speak up. But then when you get, you know, a jackwagon like Bill O'Reilly, who doesn't seem to understand what the hell he's even talking about, and then he tries to ask questions, he misses the whole frickin' point. But anyway, let's continue. So O'Reilly goes, see, I don't believe Nazism could happen in the USA. I don't think it could happen, nor could communism happen here. Do you disagree with me?
Well, I believe that what can happen is if people do not speak up for what they believe, they can be trampled. Their rights can be trampled to various and sundry degrees. Now, of course, the objective of many on the left is to take a single word that you're not supposed to say. You can't say Nazis. You can't say slavery. That's political correctness. As you well know, I do not believe in that. I think it's a bunch of crap, and it doesn't really belong in the American system where we have freedom of speech.
All right, exactly. And, of course, he's still talking. And of course, Bill O'Reilly's got to then cut him off. Oh, yeah, but what, O'Reilly? Shut up. See, he doesn't understand. When somebody is comparing, or not comparing, but saying Nazism, they're not saying you're walking around with the swastika flag and you're hiling Hitler. It's tyranny, Mr. O'Reilly. You have to stop talking. You have to be more concerned with the issue rather than yourself. He's a horrible interviewer. And that interview he did with the president, I mean, please. Stop the madness now. Just stop. This is the problem with our country. We don't have responsible journalism. They don't understand the points. They don't get the issue. How can they ask the proper question if they don't even understand the goddamn issue? I mean, my Lord. But, I mean, you know, Ben Carson, he kept his cool, and he stuck to his guns, man. He just was out there, and he's saying, you know, he's just speaking exactly what it is, man. He's speaking from himself, from within himself, not somebody else. See, this man is exercising the freedom of speech, not somebody else's freedom of speech, but his, speaking for anybody else other than himself. So then O'Reilly goes on again. The mass of Germans were not in the Nazi Party, and that's true. They just sat on their butts and allowed the fanatics to take over. Well, which is exactly what's happening now, Mr. O'Reilly. Maybe if you pay attention a little bit. Oh, that could never happen. What do you mean that could never happen in the United States? It's happening. We have it now. I mean, hello. You know it, we know it, everybody knows it, but the problem is we just don't acknowledge it. And that's what Mr. Carson is doing. He's acknowledging it. Mr. O'Reilly still hasn't acknowledged it yet. He believes it just can't happen. Well, you know, you want to wear rose-colored glasses, that's fine. But eventually you're going to have to take them off and take a long, hard look at reality. And that's missing in this country. Nobody wants to face the reality because the reality sometimes sucks. Okay, the truth does suck sometimes. All right. It's how you handle the truth. What do you do with that truth? Do you ignore it and just make something else up? Replace it with something else that sounds better, looks better, feels better? Or do you acknowledge the truth and then see what you can do within yourself to change or to fix? Maybe you can fix the issue or maybe you can fix yourself, depending on whatever the truth is, whatever that reality is at the time. But nobody wants to do that because it's work. You have to do something. You got to get off the couch. You got to put down the bags of Cheetos. You got to turn off the television. Kim Kardashian can wait, people. First of all, she's not that pretty. She's fat, and she's dumber than a post. Why? This is another thing. How did our country get to where the Kim Kardashians, these people are our heroes? We have to race home, and we can't miss the Kim Kardashian show. Well, that tells me there's a problem in our society. Far too many people don't have a life of their own. Maybe they can't afford it, I don't know. But if you can afford cable to watch this bimbo, then I think you can afford a life. Take that $100 a month you spend on stupid cable and spend it on something else. Go to night school, I don't know. Invest in your own little business, I don't know. Do something. But turn off the goddamn television and start thinking for yourself. Open up your eyes and take a look around you. I've got examples. I'm going to get to it. Examples of Nazism, which doesn't mean that you're hiring Hitler and you're carrying a swastika and you're burning Jews in ovens. That's not what that means. If Mr. O'Reilly would think before he speaks once in a while, maybe he would have had a much better conversation with this guy. He might have understood it a little better. So anyway, he goes on, the mass of Germans were not in the Nazi Party. They just sat on their butts and allowed the fanatics to take over, like they're doing in this country right now today. So then he goes on, that could not happen here because of our system of checks and balances. Can you believe O'Reilly just said that? That could not happen here because of our system of checks and balances? Where's the checks and balances? I mean, the president's got a pen and a phone and uses it and abuses it, and the Congress does absolutely nothing. He has taken away the job of Congress, and Congress does absolutely nothing. Where's the checks and balances on that, Mr. O'Reilly? What the hell are you talking about? We've got all these government agencies making up all these policies, and that can never happen because we have checks and balances? Well, Mr. O'Reilly, let me correct you on this. If we had checks and balances, okay, first of all, the IRS would have never done what they did. That's tyranny. That's Nazism, Mr. O'Reilly. You understand? What the IRS did to conservatism, to conservative groups, that was Nazism. That's what the Nazis did. They used their government agencies to attack their political foes. That's Nazism. And again, it's not swastikas and burning Jews. It's tyranny. Nazi is tyranny. Nazi means National Socialist Party. Socialism. This is what socialism, Nazism, communism, all the other isms, this is what this brings. Mr. O'Reilly, if you were awake, you'd be able to see this, but you're not. There are no checks and balances. Where are the checks and balances? I mean, the president just signs, basically just half got rid of the Second Amendment. More and more of that Second Amendment is taken away every time Obama picks up his pen. Where's the checks and balances on that, Mr. O'Reilly? Where's the checks and balances on the EPA? You can't even use a regular light bulb anymore now. That's against the law. And if you sell one, you can get fined and go to jail. Where's the checks and balances on that, Mr. O'Reilly? How can you have the EPA force you to buy, in the name of a cleaner environment, force you to buy a toxic, mercury-laden, baby-killing light bulb? Where's the checks and balances on that, Mr. O'Reilly? I mean, I'm just curious. How can you possibly say that could not happen in the United States because of our system of checks and balances? Well, we do are supposed to have checks and balances, but we don't use them. Unbelievable. Then he goes on, but what I think you're worried about is Obama's policies in general taking root. Is that what you're worried about?
A couple of things that I'm worried about. I'm worried about the fact that the populace is being silent and is not expressing what they believe because they're afraid. They've
exactly.
been intimidated.
By?
And,
by whom?
By the government.
What do you call
by
it?
By the government and by the media, by the PC police. You say something, all of a sudden, like, this is a perfect example. You know, you're using an example of how people would not speak up. They try to turn the argument away from that because they know it's true. They know what I'm saying is true. But rather than talk about that, they want to divert the issue to something else. You couple that with the fact that our Congress needs to be a little more courageous because the reason we have a divided government is if one branch of the government gets a little bit over exuberant, they need to rein them in. We need courage there in order to do that.
Exactly. And you know what? You know what's really sad about that? Is you have to have courage to stand up for your rights. You shouldn't have to have courage to stand up for your rights. The rights should already be there. You should not have to stand up. You should not have to, courage should not be a part of the equation. Courage means that you're going up against a certain foe, which means if you have courage, you do have to have fear. Because you're going to go, look, people go into war. Yeah, they're courageous in going and they're fighting, but you think for one second they don't have fear? You damn skippy they do. You damn skippy they do. I've had a few nights on the ocean coming through the Straits of Hormuz, hugging the coast of Iran with silkworm missiles locked on me. You want to talk about a scary evening? It's the unknown. And we were all alone. But that didn't stop us from being brave and completing our mission. The problem is you shouldn't have to have courage to stand up for your rights. Those are your rights. It shouldn't be about courage. It shouldn't be about bravado. It should be that's the way it is. I've got my rights and that's it. Conversation's over. But that's not the reality. So we do have to muster up courage. We do have to be brave. And we do have to stand up for ourselves. Otherwise, they will walk all over you, just as they are doing right now. But see, people like Mr. O'Reilly just don't get it. They try to ask the questions in the form of, well, I'm just trying to play devil's advocate. No, you're not. He's over there, well, how? By whom? Who's doing this? Who? Who do you think, Mr. O'Reilly? See, those are the kinds of questions that I don't like. I mean, if you don't know what the man's talking about, you shouldn't have him on your program. But good for Mr. Carson. He's been targeted by the IRS I don't know how many times. And he's going to continue to be targeted by the IRS. All because he has the courage to stand up and say, look, this is wrong and this is what is right. We all should be doing that. We need to help a lot more Ben Carsons out there that are just simply not afraid to tell the truth. Look, the truth doesn't hurt. I'm sorry, but it doesn't. You ever had that where you've been holding something in for a long time and you've got to tell the truth somehow, sometime? You just got to get it out. And then when you finally get it out, don't you feel good? I mean, you've got this relief. You've got this weight off of your shoulders. It's a relief. And you know what? You don't get hurt. You don't bleed. You don't feel any pain whatsoever. It's actually invigorating, inspiring. But we can't use that today. That's offensive. Freedom is offensive. Freedom is racist. So, some more examples of Nazism. Let's take an example of just the Common Core. Okay, in Nazism, in all Nazi-isms, all tyrannies, all tyrants, all tyrannies of all kind, once they get enough adults on their side, then they cowardly attack the children, manipulate their minds, just like they are doing now. This Common Core, thank God New York has suspended it for a number of years, delayed it. Again, more delays. Why would you delay it for like 2 or 3 years or 8 years? I mean, what does that even mean? Why put on a delay? Either you're going to do it or you're not going to do it. If you're not going to do it, then get rid of it. Why put a delay for 2022 for this Common Core? I mean, that doesn't even make any sense. Just get rid of it. But they manipulate the children, and what they try to do is they try to isolate the children and to get them to turn away from their parents. Now, with the Hitler Youth, yeah, a lot of those Hitler Youth did turn in their parents. Believe it or not, people turned in their family. They turned citizens against citizens. They used the citizens as their little watchdogs, their little spies. And we have that in this country today. Then they send the FBI and the HEF, and the EPA. They send all these groups out there so they can... And Elijah Cummings, we've got to have, you know... Congress members come to your door and intimidate you. A member of Congress. Elijah Cummings, why did you go to Miss Engelbrecht's, I guess her home or her business? But why did you even go to her to begin with? What the hell is the matter with you? But Nazis, tyrants, they love to manipulate the children. So you get them when they're young and they're vulnerable and they don't know any different. And you train their mind through propaganda, indoctrination. They like to separate the children away from the parents. They don't want the parents influencing their children. See, that's bad. That's wrong. Well, we have that with Common Core. Let's see. Where's an example? My mom always blank me to clean her to clean my room. My mom always blank me to clean my room. The word is either tells me to clean my room or nags me to clean my room. Their correct answer is nags. My mom always nags me to clean my room. Think about that. If you're a parent and you've got a child that doesn't like to clean their room, which child does? I had to be told 1,000 times to clean my friggin' room. Did my mother nag? Yeah, I guess you could call it nag. But there was a reason for it. Pretty good reason for it. The correct response should be, my mom always tells me to clean my room. But they don't want that. They want you to turn away from your parents and go to them. The government knows more than your parents. See, the government won elections. All the people in government, they won elections, or they were appointed by people who won elections. So they know more than your parents. What the hell do your parents know? Turning neighbors against neighbors. Again, using government agencies to attack and target their political foes. That's Nazism. That's what happened in the Nazi regime. That's what happens in every tyrannical regime. So the word Nazi, I think people need to slow down. When you hear the word Nazism, does not mean that you are a swastika-carrying, Jew-burning, you know, I mean, come on. Look, if you're not intelligent enough and capable enough of understanding that, you have no business being in the conversation. Seriously. Shut up and just pay attention. Maybe you might learn something. And he was right. He says, and then the left, they use these words like, you can't say Nazi. You can't say this. You can't say that. And if you do, oh, well, then you're the Nazi. Really? So I'm the Nazi because you're taking away my rights, liberties, and freedoms. That makes me the Nazi. Well, what does that make you? And now we have the Wisconsin school kids. They're trying to get them, they play these little games. It's called a game. So they take select students. And the game is called Cross the Line. And there are literally almost every parent is outraged when they found this out. And I don't blame them. A middle school in Marionette, Wisconsin. I don't know what the hell's up with Wisconsin. I mean, those liberals up in Wisconsin, I mean, they're out of their damn fool minds. I mean, any liberal's out of their damn fool mind. But those up in Wisconsin, man, I don't know. Maybe it's so cold up there it froze their friggin' brains, and it just their brains haven't unthawed. But a middle school in Marionette, Wisconsin, got a group of 5th to 8th graders together and organized a really fun game that asked students to step forward to answer yes to a series of highly personal questions. Questions like, do your parents drink? Is that any of your goddamn business? And so what if they do? A lot of parents drink. A lot of people drink. What does that mean? That you're bad people? Oh.
Okay.
Do you cut yourself? What? Do you see any scars on the kid? Has anyone in your family been to jail? What the hell does that mean? Why would you ask? This is school. This is your school. Fifth to eighth graders asking these questions, teachers. It's a game, they call it. A game. No, it's not a game. It's deliberate. It's indoctrination. Brainwashing. This is Nazism, Mr. O'Reilly. Do you understand, Mr. O'Reilly? This is Nazism. What's going on in this country right now is Nazism. We're not carrying swastikas. We don't have the SS. We're not throwing Jews into ovens and concentration camps. That does not mean that it is not Nazism. Nazism is the National Socialist Party. That's what it stands for. That's what it means. This is what socialism, communism, all those isms, this is what it brings. But you, Mr. O'Reilly, no, that can never happen in America. What do you mean it can never happen in America? It already has happened. It's happening now. It's going on right now. It's not in the planning phases. It's being executed as we speak, more and more every day. I just want people in the media to be responsible. Not only do I want my government responsible, I want my law enforcement responsible. I want my media responsible, and most importantly, I want the citizens to be responsible. That's never going to happen. None of that stuff is ever going to happen. But we get enough people together that think that way, well, it can change. At least a few things. We can never change everything. It'll never happen. As long as you have two people on planet Earth, you're going to have two completely different opinions on the same subject, period. Have you ever wanted to commit suicide? Why would the teachers be asking these kids these questions unless there's, you know, this is not the right forum for teachers to be asking these kinds of questions. You should be asking, what is 2 + 2? Describe the Declaration of Independence. When was the Constitution signed? Do you or your parents do drugs? Unbelievably, school administrators believe that this, in quotations, game would help the kids to be better and kinder friends. How do you connect the dots on that? By asking these questions. And there's a whole bunch of questions that they asked. We don't need to go in anymore. You get the idea. But how is that going to make people become better and kinder friends? I don't get the connection there. I don't understand how liberals connect the dots from one thing to the next. It's arbitrary. It's baseless. It's meaningless. And then if you disagree with it, well, then you're a hater. How can I be a hater when what you've given me is just utter nonsense and I called you out on it? I'm not the hater. You're the idiot. The intent of this activity was to build stronger, more respectful relationships among students, said Principal Sean Lindbergh. Sean Lindbergh, you're an idiot. And you're a principal? How are these people allowed to be in a school? I'm sorry, but parents, you need to take a much more active role in your child's education than what you have been doing. I'm sorry, you're not there. Don't sit here and frickin' argue with me. The evidence is overwhelming. You're not there, parents. Don't frickin' argue. You're going to have to get off your ass. You're going to have to put your career to the side for a couple of minutes and get your ass out there to the goddamn school and make sure your child is being educated properly. Your child's education comes far before your goddamn career. pay attention to your children or don't have them. Take an interest in your child or don't have them. Take an interest in your child's education and force those teachers to educate your child properly. If they don't, take them out. Educate them at home. And if you can't, well, I don't know. Since you've got such a big career, send them to a private school. Do whatever you got to do. If it means you're going to have to, you know, turn off the Kim Kardashian show and go down to a PTA meeting and chew somebody's ass out, then do it. I'm sick and tired of the laziness in this country. It's lazy. Oh, it's all right. It's a school, and they know better, and they're this, and they're this, and plus, like, you know, this, and Kim Kardashian's on, and The game, they claim, was part of an anti-bullying program. I'm stymied. How is that an anti-bullying program? Do you cut yourself? Has anyone in your family been to jail? Do your parents drink? How is that anti-bully? I don't understand. Of course, Ms. Lindbergh also said the game was completely voluntary. Yeah, I'm sure. I bet it was, wasn't it? An assertion that was disputed by one. See, I didn't even read this. I've never read this before. And I knew it right off the bat. As soon as they said was completely voluntary, that means that it wasn't. I don't speak their language, but I understand. Well, I don't understand it, but I can interpret it. An assertion that was disputed by one girl who told her mother she'd have to go to in-school suspension if she didn't participate. Several parents voiced their concerns and had them brushed off, of course. They don't want any resistance from anybody. See, that's what they want. They just want to hand down all their rules, all their regulations, all their isms, and expect you just to accept it because they're the educator. Well, I don't see a whole lot of educating from these educators. I mean, that's just me. And I can prove it by I have to talk to these kids out in public. And yeah, I do talk to people, young people, old people, middle-aged people, teenagers. And when I talk to these students and I talk to these young kids, and I'm in the theater, so you've always got young people and you've got old people. You've got a theater is for all ages. I've acted with children. I've acted with babies. I've acted with very elderly people, teenagers. So when you talk to these kids that are teenagers, 20s, even in their early 30s, they're idiots. They are manufactured idiots. Starts when they're in grade school. The parents don't give a damn. Go to school. I've got my career. Go learn. Show me your report card. And leave me the hell alone already. Now, I'm not saying that every parent does that. Come on. Don't set yourself on fire. There's just far too many parents that do that. The evidence is overwhelming. When you talk to these kids, anybody under the age of 35, I mean, most of them they have no clue. Outside of freaking Google, what the hell's going on in the world? If it's not on their goddamn cell phone, they can't Google it. They don't know the freaking answer. They have no idea how to find the answer. And it's with everything. And then if you say anything about global warming doesn't exist, oh, my God. I mean, you would think you just turned into Charles freaking Manson. These kids have been indoctrinated their whole life. They don't know any different. So when they hear the truth, they immediately think the truth is racist and homophobic and hateful. Freedom is hateful. So, of course, the parents were going to be brushed off by the school. The school doesn't want any resistance because they don't know how to combat it. They don't know how to respond to it other than you're a hater, you're a racist, you're a Tea Partier, I'm going to turn you into the government. We'll get the IRS on you. We'll send in the ATF. The ATF? Coming to somebody's business for what? You think they got guns? Amanda Feferic, I guess is how you pronounce your name. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I just have no idea how to pronounce your name. Feferic. Amanda. We'll call her Amanda. She's a mother of a seventh grade student. She says they basically told us that all students were lying. All the students got together and planned it out, and if they weren't lying, it was all misinterpretations or misperceptions. Yeah, that's a nice word. A misperception. Just exactly how deep did you have to shove your fist up your ass to pull that one out of, huh, sweetheart? Misperception? These are the teachers talking to the parents. It's all the students' fault. It's all their fault. They have misperceptions. Excuse me, teachers, but you are the misperception. They didn't specifically say, do your parents do drugs? Well, yeah, they did, but of course, we all know those silly children must have just completely misunderstood the whole thing. Why would a child say that? Why would all the children say that? I mean, this whole story goes on and on and on and on and on and on and on. And if the children, I mean, if the parents do stand up and bitch, piss, and moan, well, they're the extremists. Because you see, the educator, they've got a piece of paper with their name on it that says that they're an educator. So what the hell do the parents know? Who the hell are the parents to educate their children? It's not up to the parents to educate their children. It's up to the teachers. No. Absolutely, emphatically wrong. Education starts with the parents. Education starts with the parents, not with the teachers. Teachers are there to just simply teach the academics, and that is it. I don't trust these teachers teaching history. I mean, we can't even get, I mean, current history. I mean, the president's out there saying, I didn't say that, I didn't say that. Yes, we've got how many times as the president did he say you can keep your plan, period, you can keep your doctor, period? But yet he comes out, I didn't say that. What I said was this, if, and we're expected to just believe it. Well, that's true. Yeah, he really did say that. No, he didn't. The evidence is overwhelming that he didn't. But if you question it, you challenge it, you're the hater. You're the extremist. Do you understand a little bit now, Mr. O'Reilly? Nazism is alive and well in the United States. Does not mean that we're carrying swastikas. Nazism is socialism. That's what Nazism means, Mr. O'Reilly. The National Socialist Party. That's Nazi. Nazi is an acronym for the National Socialist Party. That's what it means. Does not mean that you have a swastika. Does not mean that you are part of the SS. You're wearing brown shirts. You're capturing Jews, putting them in ghettos and in ovens. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about tyranny. Socialism is tyrannical. The government overreaching its powers is tyrannical. That's what Mr. Carson was getting out, Mr. O'Reilly. How you didn't see that, how you weren't able to hear that and acknowledge that, Mr. Arad. I just don't know. That's why I don't watch the show that often, because I just, and it was an accident that I watched you last night. But I can't deal with that kind of stuff. He's got an ego that just drives me nuts. It's all about him. He's the only one who's right. He's the only one who has the, an opinion. Everybody else is wrong, and he's right. Well, that's not part of America. That's not what it's about. Look, I can disagree with your stupid opinion, but I can't tell you that you can't have it. But that's what we get out of people like O'Reilly. And that's why I stopped listening to The Fan. And I love The Fan, 660 AM. And I love sports talk radio, but I can't stand listening to all these just very arrogant sports announcers. It's not about them. It's about the sport. It's about the game, man. It's not about you. You're the friggin' broadcaster. Shut up. I don't like that arrogance, man. I mean, it's just, it drives me nuts. Look, it's okay to be different. And it's okay to criticize, and you can talk it out, but to stifle and punish people for having a different opinion than you, that's where I draw the line. That's what I can't stand. And O'Reilly will jump right all over you. He won't let you get out, especially when you're his guests. He doesn't listen to his guests. He's not interested in what they're saying to him. He's only interested in what his response is going to be. And as soon as they start out telling the truth and they're getting to a point, he's got to cut them off. I don't know how that Dennis Miller. I can't how did I forget his name? I don't know how that Dennis Miller puts up with him. I really don't. And Laura Ingraham, I don't know how she puts up with him either. I really don't. And I love both of them. I love Dennis Miller, and I love Laura Ingraham. I've loved her for a long time. I'm still upset that she cut her hair about 10, 12 years ago, but that's all right. I still love her. She's smart. She knows what the hell she's talking about. She's good. If you don't know who she is, well, look her up. So now, if this isn't enough evidence for you, Mr. O'Reilly, how about the Ohio National Guard? You heard about this? Oh, this is a good one. Oh, this is rich. You're going to like this one. The Ohio National Guard, their training is on right-wing terrorism. Their training exercise is on right-wing terrorism, those Second Amendment folks, which the Second Amendment folks are not the aggressors. Just so you people out there understand, those that support the Second Amendment are not the aggressors. These are not the people that are going out shooting people. Look at all the mass shootings as of late. They were all Democrats. Gabby Giffords, her shooter, was one of her supporters. And yes, voted for Obama. How about that jack wagon there in Colorado that destroyed that entire movie theater? How many people he gunned down? He was a Occupy Wall Streeter, an Obama supporter. How was that a right-wing extremist? But the right wing got blamed for it. What was that guy in California? Remember him, that police officer? They chased him down. They finally burned his house down, blew him up, whatever. He killed a lot of people. He was crazy. He was an Obama supporter. But see, the media didn't cover that part. But it's always the Second Amendment, folks, because it has to do with guns. So if you're a proponent of the Second Amendment, that means you like guns and you're an extremist and you like to kill people with your guns. That's their thinking. Far from the reality, though. You know it, I know it. Even they know it, but they won't accept it, because if they do, well, then that means that, well, the right wins, so they can't have that. They've got to paint that picture. It's propaganda. That's what it's about. You understand what Nazism now, Mr. O'Reilly? That's Nazism. Getting citizens to turn on citizens. Turning the innocent, the law-abiding citizen, into the criminal. That's Nazism, Mr. O'Reilly. You do not have to carry a swastika to be a Nazi. Nazi is socialism. Nazi is tyranny. That's what it means, Mr. O'Reilly. Please make a frickin' note of it. Documents from an Ohio National Guard training drill conducted last January reveal the details of a mock disaster where Second Amendment supporters, I'm losing my voice again, and I apologize. I'm not 100%. I'm only 91.5. But I'm still here, and I refuse to give up. I don't give a damn how sick I am. I refuse to give up the fight. It's too much going on. I don't have time to give up the fight. Neither do you. Neither does anybody. Nobody in this country has the time to give up the fight. I'm sorry. But we're going to have to get off the couch, put down the Cheetos, turn off the Kim Kardashians, turn off your Justin Bieber records. Well, they're not records anymore. I'm still the old school. I call it a record, man. Whatever. But we're going to have to fight. It's a never-ending fight. It shouldn't be, I agree. We've got a Constitution that has given us our freedom. We've had the exact number of lives lost in the fight for freedom. I don't know how to actually calculate it. I don't know if there is a way. But it doesn't matter what that actual number is. We know that it's a lot. And these people should not have died in vain. If we allow this government to continue the path that it has continued, every single person that died fighting for our freedom died in vain. Now, do you want that on your conscience? I don't want it on mine. These men that died to protect our freedom should not have to die in vain. Their death should actually mean something. Their death is a gift to you. And if you don't understand it, you can't accept that. Find another place to live, please. These people that died, died for you. Least you can do is frickin' respect it. So the details of the mock disaster where the Second Amendment supporters with, in quotations, anti-government opinions were portrayed as domestic terrorists. Again, let me get this clear, because there's far too many people in this country who think that because you're a Second Amendment proponent, you believe in the Constitution, that you're anti-government. Well, the Constitution is not anti-government. The Constitution, framework on how the government is run. The Constitution is government. What the hell are you talking about? How do you get anti-government out of that? How does that happen? It's called propaganda. And it's called people being naive and gullible, which are lazy people. If you're that naive and you're gullible, you're lazy. You have a lazy mind, period. You cannot be gullible and not have a lazy mind. If you have a lazy mind, you are gullible. If you are gullible, you have a lazy mind. So if you are going to be that gullible, that lazy-minded, that absent-minded, that feeble-minded, that you would believe that somebody who supports the Constitution believes in it is anti-government, you've got a problem. Again, you need to get yourself checked into a hospital. Have some neurosurgeons check out your brain. Open up your squash. see what the hell's wrong with it, and hopefully they can fix it. But you need something. In reality, you don't need a doctor. You just need to pull your head out of your ass and start using it. That's what you need. This is offensive. I have only read just the first goddamn sentence, and I'm already just beyond offensive. This is completely offensive. It just sends me the wrong way. I get very irate with this stuff. And the ire doesn't, it's not from anger, it's from frustration. Because I know what the truth is, but I'm being told by somebody who won a goddamn election that what I know to be true by all the evidence, I'm wrong. Well, that offends me, especially when I have all the evidence right here that doesn't suggest, but very blatantly says, but yet that's wrong. You can keep your doctor, period. You can keep your plan, period. Nobody's trying to take away your health care, period. Oh, but what I really said was, yeah, you can keep all that, but only for a year. And if nothing else changes, and if this, and if that. No, Mr. Satoru, you lied. Blatantly. Deliberately. We do have evidence that there was a meeting on how to spin this. Exactly how to lie. And they chose to say, well, screw it. Go out there and lie, and once this gets passed and once it gets going, then we can't get rid of it. So they're arguing with the right who's trying to get rid of it. But yet, they're doing everything they can to not implement it. So if somebody wants to explain that one to me, I'm all friggin' ears. The Ohio National Guard 52nd Civil Support Team training scenario involved a plot from local school district employees to use biological weapons in order to advance their beliefs about protecting gun rights and Second Amendment rights. Now, I did a lot of scenarios in the Navy, a lot of war scenarios. We played a lot of war games, and that's part of the, well, you're in the military. You play war games. That's what you have to do. When you're not fighting a war, you're training for war. That's what you do. That's the military. You don't train for peace and then go into battle. Never once did we do anything such as this. And why does it have to be the scenario protecting gun rights and Second Amendment rights? Well, it's the same thing. I don't know why they had to put an and there, but this is in quotation, so this is what they really said. So do they know the difference between gun rights and Second Amendment rights? Obviously they don't. That seems obvious to me. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Now I know that what they're doing is the National Guard, they're trying to, you know, of scenarios that would happen on the homeland. The home front. Okay, but if you want to use biological weapons as a training exercise, there's nothing wrong with that. I've had to do those too. We do those all the time. But why do you have to have the scenario saying it's about gun rights and Second Amendment rights? Why does it have to be that? Well, they're trying to train these people. That's the mindset that they're trying to instill into the military. That anybody on the right, anybody who supports gun rights, well, they're an extremist. They're a terrorist, a domestic terrorist. See, Mr. O'Reilly, that's what Nazis do. That's what Nazis did. They turned the Jews into the terrorists. Did you ever read a frickin' history book, Mr. O'Reilly? Aren't you a history major? Didn't you teach history in school, Mr. O'Reilly? Maybe that's why you didn't teach school for that long. Maybe that's why. Because you didn't actually understand the history that you were teaching. How can this guy be this obtuse and still be on television is frickin' mind-boggling to me. I don't understand it. Portsmouth Fire Chief Bill Raisin told NBC3 WSAZ-TV in Huntington, West Virginia, that the drill accurately represented, in quotations now, the reality of the world we live in. Really? We already know that the mass shootings are overwhelmingly Democrats. They vote for Democrats. They're Occupy Wall Streeters. They supported Obama. But yet the right gets the blame for it. The Second Amendmenters. Those gun rightsers. They're the extremists because they believe in guns. Meanwhile, the Democrats are out shooting people, but the right gets the blame for it. So this is the reality of the world we live in? Is that true, Mr. Fire Chief Bill Raisin? How are you the fire chief? Whoever your boss is should have a little sit-down with you. It should last for about 1 second. Only two words need to be spoken. You're fired. The reality of the world we live in, and adding that such training helps us all be prepared. Be prepared for what? To take over the right? Throw the right in jail? Or just kill them? So everybody in the country's all Democrats. Is that what we're looking at? I mean, that's what it seems like to me. I don't know. I'm not pointing my finger and accusing that, but it does kind of smell that way. And it stinks. Internal Ohio National Guard documents provided to media trackers after repeated delays provide further context as to what WSAZ-TV reported last winter. In the disaster preparedness scenario, two Portsmouth junior high school employees poisoned school lunches with mustard gas, acting on orders from the white nationalist leader, William Pierce. These are scenarios that they're acting out, and it has to be a white nationalist? Huh. I mean, is anybody seeing the same thing that I'm seeing? I can't be the only one who sees what's going on here and sees that this is completely, not only unethical, but just it's the wrong way to train. It's indoctrination. It's getting people to believe that if anybody's on the right, anybody is a Second Amendment proponent, that they're an extremist. They're a terrorist. That's what it is. That's called propaganda, Mr. O'Reilly. That's what the Nazis did. You're a history major, Mr. O'Reilly. You taught history in school, for Christ's sakes. How do you not know that this is what the Nazis did? They turned the Jew into the terrorist. How did you get your degree to teach history, Mr. O'Reilly, if you don't know that? But yet that can never happen in America because we have checks and balances? Can never happen. It already has happened. We have it now. All right, any more on this? We already know what they're doing. Oh, my God, I've talked over an hour. I've only gotten through two stories here. We've got to get going here. But, I mean, you get the point. We don't need to beat this anymore to death. In 2009, the United States Department of Homeland Security warned law enforcement agencies, you remember this, that a predicted rise in quotations now, right-wing extremism, which what the hell is right-wing extremism? I don't even know what the hell that is. What is it? I mean, we hear about it on MSNBC and CNN, but where? What? What is right-wing extremism? And don't give me this Oklahoma City bombing, those clowns. They weren't. That wasn't right-wing. That's not the right-wing. I don't know what friggin' wing that is, but that's certainly not the right-wing. But we do know that the Occupy Wall Streeters were left-wing. We do know that. But the Tea Party, they're the extremists. They're the radicals. Not one member of any Tea Party crapped on a police car. Not one member of any Tea Party ever raped somebody at a Tea Party. Occupy Wall Street, how many rapes did they have? Countless. They had to put up rape tents so women wouldn't get raped. Don't you think that these mayors of these towns that had these things would shut that down immediately? Well, nobody from the Tea Party was there, so it's okay. Tea parties do not leave when they're done with their Tea Party. Do not leave the place in goddamn shambles. Like Occupy Wall Street. We didn't stab anybody. How many people were stabbed? How many people were murdered at these Occupy Wall Street? I guess, I don't know, what do you call them? Meetings, conventions? I guess it was a protest, whatever the hell it was. What were they protesting? God only knows. It was just an excuse that he didn't have to go to work or go to school. Who the hell knows what was going on in their minds? It wasn't effective. But you remember this, in 2009 with HHS and warned the law enforcement agencies that a predicted rise in right-wing extremism would be fueled by, in quotations again, proposed imposition of firearms restrictions and weapons bans, and the election of the first African-American president. People on the right aren't concerned with color. Certainly not the Tea Party is concerned with color. Otherwise, black people would not be allowed to join and be a part of the Tea Party. They are allowed in the Tea Party. All Americans are allowed in the Tea Party. Even liberals are allowed. All you have to do is shut up and pay attention and listen. That's all you got to do. The Tea Party's for everybody. It's not just for one group. It's not for the white-haired, gray, rich, super wealthy Republicans. Those people aren't in the Tea Party, just so you know. Oh, also, by the way, I know a lot of you people on the left, you know, because, you know, if you're on the right, you hate women. The Tea Party's made up of majority of women, so just throw that out there. You understand now, Mr. O'Reilly, what Nazism now, what Nazism means? A goddamn history teacher is completely oblivious of frickin' Nazism. How can that be, Mr. O'Reilly? This is the kind of crap we got to get off our goddamn televisions, man. I'm sorry, but enough. We got to vet our media. That's another thing that sucks. We got to vet every single person on television before. I mean, this is ridiculous. We shouldn't have to go through all of this. We should not have to do this. But if we don't, we're going to get behind. We're going to get trampled on. And Mr. Carson said it right. If we do not stand up for ourselves, they will walk all over us. Not only will they walk all over us, they're going to dance on us. Treat us like common litter on the street. Well, that's not how I want to be treated. I flat refuse to comply to this new order, if you will. I will not comply with it. and neither should you. And it's okay to fight. It's okay to fight for what you believe in. They're fighting for what they believe in, so why can't we fight back? Well, we can, but we don't. Because we have a Speaker of the House, Ms. John Boehner, who refuses to fight. Well, just let them have whatever they want. When the country goes bankrupt, we can say, I told you so. But that's not the strategy we're looking for, Mrs. Boehner. All right, let's open up my treasure chest here. I know I've spoken long enough. Let's open up my treasure chest here and see if there's any booty. Oh, speaking of Mrs. Boehner, here it is, right off the frickin' top. Unbelievable. Debt up. Almost $3 trillion was Mrs. Boehner. But yet he hasn't violated one conservative principle. You remember that. Obamacare enrollment hits 3.3 million. But not really. It hits 3.3 million because that's the number that they gave. That's the number that they want you to believe. That's what Nazism is, Mr. O'Reilly, where, you know, the powers to be just say things and you're supposed to just accept it and believe it. That's Nazism, Mr. O'Reilly. What this is right here, the Obama administration just coming out and saying there's 3.3 million people enrolled. Okay, that's what Nazism does. That's what tyranny does. They make up lies as they go along, and you're just supposed to believe it and accept it. And if you argue, well, then you're a traitor. You're an extremist. You're a hater, and you must be punished. Democratic lawmaker to Clarence Thomas, still an Uncle Tom. I'm tired of that goddamn word. Naked ambition. TSA wants new generation of body scanners. All the billions of dollars they spent on the last one for whatever reason didn't work, and now they want to spend billions more to get more machines that aren't going to work. Former New Orleans mayor, Mr. Ray Nagin. Oh, my God. You remember this guy. The Chocolate City. This guy's a creep, and I am so glad this guy was found guilty. Good. 21 of 22 counts. Fraud, corruption, this, that, and everything else. Good. I hope you rot in frickin' jail. I hope you rot and fester in frickin' jail, Mr. Nagin. What you did after Hurricane Katrina and before, during, and after Hurricane Katrina, what you did, Mr. Ray Nagin, you deserve to rot in that cell just for what you did with Hurricane Katrina. Now, yeah, I know. Okay, the federal government didn't get there on time, whatever. Day or two late, whatever. Well, first of all, it's not FEMA's responsibility to first responders in the first place. But besides the point, what this man did, if you don't know what he did, just pay attention. People, you got to start paying attention to what the hell's happening in the real world. There's more to reality than Kim frickin' Kardashian, just to let you know. Eric Holder, state laws that bar felons from voting are too unjust to tolerate. No, Mr. Holder, you are too unjust to tolerate. Vulnerable Dems want IRS to step up. They haven't stepped up enough for you people? Now you want them to target more people. I mean, these guys are just coming out. They're just coming out and saying it. I mean, now they're just brazen with it now. They're formally asking the IRS to target the right so they can win an election. They're just coming out and saying it now. They're not beating around the bush. They're not afraid to say their side, speak their piece. They're not afraid to fight for what they want. So why is the right afraid to fight? I don't know. But those 28 members in the Republican Party, first ones on the chopping block that need to lose their job, Mr. Issa, what the hell did you do, man? Don't give me you did this for noble reasons crap. There is no excuse to go against your principles. There is no noble reason to go against your principles. I don't want to hear it, Mr. Issa. You broke my freaking heart. I stood up for you. I praised you. I promoted you. I was by your side. I was cheering you on. I was supporting you. And what do? Stab me in the back. You stabbed America in the back, Mr. Issa. Shame on you, man. Shame on you. God damn it. Democrats running ads criticizing Obamacare. Pisses off Mrs. Pelosi. She doesn't like that. That's her pack. Of course they are. Democrats are, they know this is a joke. They know they're running for the president farther away than running away from Obamacare. God almighty. All right, let's get into this. This debt up $3 trillion with Mrs. Boehner. So the debt of the U.S. government now has increased by $2.678 trillion. We're just going to call that three. And it's going to be well over three now that Mrs. Boehner just allowed the president to have an open checkbook. He's got his pen already. All he needs is just a checkbook. And Obama will do the rest. Just give me that. Yeah, there we are. I'll just sign this, and we'll write a check for this, and write a check for that. No problem. And he spends $2.678 trillion. Frickin' believable. $2.678 trillion in the 2.5 years. Since Mrs. John Baker, or Boehner, was the Speaker of the House, completed his first deal to put legislation increasing the debt limit through a Republican-controlled House of Representatives. Now, I'm sure you all remember Mrs. Boehner when she said this little gem.
Listen, you all know me, all right? I say what I mean what I say.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I'm as conservative as anybody around this place.
Oh, yeah.
And all the things that we've done over the 3 years that I've been Speaker have not violated any conservative principle. Not once.
Not one time. Really? What did you do the other day, Mrs. Boehner? I'm curious. What you did the other day, Mrs. Boehner, how is that not violating conservative principles? Excuse me. How is $2.678 trillion in 2.5 years in debt, how is that not violating conservative principles? I mean, I'm just curious. I'd like to know that. I guess I'm a dummy. I don't know. I don't know how to connect the dots, but spending roughly $3 trillion in 3 years, that's $1 trillion a year. That's violating conservative principles, Mrs. Boehner. Just to let you know. Just so the next time that you get up in front of the podium and decide to sing a little ditty, maybe you might know the truth before you speak. Should help you out a little bit. But it's not going to matter because you're going to be fired. On August 2nd, 2011, President Barack Obama signed legislation approved by the Boehner House permitting the Treasury to increase the debt by $900 billion. Since then, the debt limit has been repeatedly suspended by legislation that needed to pass through the Republican-controlled House. Blah, blah, blah. But yesterday, the House again passed legislation to suspend the debt limit. No, we don't need to worry about the debt limit. No, we don't need to worry about it. At this time, until March 15 of 2015, so roughly a year, Mr. Obama, Mrs. Valerie Jarrett, the entire Democratic Party, Harry Reid, Nancy Pelosi, And now, Mrs. John Boehner, they all got a checkbook right there. Obama's got the pen. He can just write whatever he wants. He's got a whole year to write as many checks as he wants. And that's not violating any conservative principles, Mrs. Boehner. Really? Well, I'm glad you educated me on that. See, because I'm stupid. I didn't know that. Obamacare enrollment hits 3.3 million, but not really. There are no 3.3 million people that have signed up for private insurance through Obamacare. They have maybe 3.3 million people that have clicked on to healthcare.gov, but they do not have anywhere near 3.3 million people signing up. And now they're coming out saying, oh, yeah, more young people are signing up. What, one more young person may have signed up, so now they can use the word more. Well, it's true. I mean, if one person signs up more than previous, well, then that's more. That's how they get away with it. And so when people hear the word more, oh, more people are signing up, well, that means I got to sign up. See, that's what they're trying to do. That's their propaganda. Tell you what they want to have happened rather than what actually did happen or is not happening. So if they come out and tell you that all these people are signing up, well, then that will just get you all jazzed up and ready to go so you can go out and sign up. It's not going to work that way. It doesn't work that way. People aren't signing up because they either don't want it or cannot afford it. That's why they're not signing up. Most often it's because they just simply cannot afford it. But he's got a mandatory that you have to sign up for it, but nobody's signing up for it. All these people are supposed to sign up for it, but they got all these waivers. Well, now it's not going to be too much longer. We're going to have the unions having this fight, too. And if the unions do not get their little waiver for another year, for one second, those unions not going to turn on Obama? Think again. They already have been. The problem is there's not enough people turning on this liberalism. Nazism, liberalism, whatever ism you want to put on the end of it. You can call it whatever the hell you want. But we don't have enough people in the right places to be rejecting this. And that's our fault. We put the wrong people in office. Now it's our job to take those people out and put new people in. But before we can put new people in, we've got to vet these people. Before we can vet these people, we need to find these people. They're out there. They are within all of us. You do not have to have a college education to be a member of Congress. You do not have to be a military officer. You do not have to be a lawyer. Especially, you do not have to be a goddamn lawyer. And I got nothing against lawyers. If it wasn't for lawyers, I mean, look, lawyers are, they're a necessary evil. They can come in handy, especially when you need them. My opinion, I think we have too many lawyers in Congress. We don't have enough, you know, real Americans. And what I mean by that, the citizen, a citizenry kind of an American. Meaning one that hasn't been coddled and worked in the government their entire lives, their entire career. We need people that have been in the private sector, know what it's like to live on Main Street. Those are the people that we need, a few more of those people in Congress. We need a balanced Congress. And I got to go with Mark Levin on the 17th Amendment. I remember when I first learned that, I was arguing with my history teacher in 11th grade. I understood it immediately when we started talking about the Constitution. I understand why. Maybe it's me. Maybe that's my frickin' problem, is I understand the why. But if we need a if we're going to have a balanced Congress, that's up to us. That's up to us. We've got to put the right people in, otherwise we're never going to be balanced. And if we had the state legislators, which the Senate is supposed to work for the state, the representatives are supposed to work for the citizens. That's balanced. But in the early 1900s, the Democrats wanted to have their little way so they can win more elections and take over more control. That's what the Democrats are about. They're about control. The conservatives are about giving freedom to everybody. The Democrats, the liberals, they're about taking away the freedom and giving them the freedom. We, on the right, are about taking away the freedom from the government and giving it to the people. Now, how that's extremist, how that is racist, how that is homophobic, how that is hateful, I can't for the life of me figure it out. I have absolutely no goddamn concept in my mind that I could possibly figure that out. There's just nothing there. Giving freedom to people, taking it away from the government, which the Constitution does. That's what this document that I have in my hand. I know it's been redacted. There's nothing left of this document. But what it used to say was the government was limited. They didn't have as many powers as they have today, and there was reasons for it. In order for the people to remain free, the government cannot have total power, total control. Total power, total control is tyranny, Mr. O'Reilly. Tyranny is Nazism. Nazism is socialism. This is what it brings. What Obama's doing now, coming out there just telling you 3.3 million people have signed up, when we know for a fact that's not even close. The goddamn website isn't even completed yet. It's not even completely built yet. That's what Nazism does. It's propaganda. Propaganda is not truth, Mr. O'Reilly. You understand that? Did you learn that in history? I mean, you had to study history in order to teach it. So I'm wondering if you'd learned that. I hate to keep picking on this O'Reilly, but, you know, I mean, enough is enough. Look, we're the citizens. We've got to hold everybody's feet to the fire. Everybody, including ourselves, especially ourselves. Now, I know it's a lot easier said than done. Everything in life is easier said than done. But just because it's easier said than done doesn't mean that it can't be done. It can be done. And if I have anything to say about it, it will be done. But we have to do it. Stop saying, oh, well, you know, it's the government. Nothing I can do about it. I'm just the little guy. No, you're not just a little guy. You're a much bigger guy than you think you are. Far too many people in this country have no idea the power that they actually have. And we do. We still have the power. Our last chance to exercise that power is this November. If we do not exercise our power, we do not flex our muscle. We do not exercise the power that has been invested in us by our Constitution. Countless gallons of blood has been shed to preserve this document. And this government is doing everything they can to disrespect that. Because this document takes away their power, which is the point of the document. That's the purpose of it. That's the whole reason for going to war with England. It's to form a government where the American people, the people, they have the power to form their government. They have the power to get rid of their government. Those people that are not doing their job, they have that power through the vote. The power is still with the people. But we need to exercise that power. It's okay to use your power. You do have the power. Just goddamn use it. All right, let me see if I can get through this now. 3 weeks ago, Breitbart News looked at a mid-January announcement by HHS that enrolled that had surpassed 3 million and estimated what that meant for the entire month. Well, there isn't 3 million people. I mean, we can go through all these numbers. But why? I mean, this is ridiculous. And this story just goes on and on and on and on and on. But we know the truth. We know that there's nowhere near 3.3 million that have signed up for Obamacare. That's a number that they put out there because the Democrats are flailing. They're losing ground at every moment. Every second, they're losing more and more ground. So they're conducting drills for right-wing extremist Second Amendmenters. They're poisoning lunches with mustard gas. Mustard gas, I mean, most people don't use mustard gas by, what do you, mustard gas isn't mustard. You don't put the mustard gas on the sandwich. It's a gas. So we got to go out and prepare for those Second Amendmenters, those Tea Partiers. Why don't we prepare for the Occupy Wall Streeters who are out there crapping on cop cars, stabbing each other, raping women, shooting people, getting into fights? But the Tea Party stands up and say, you know, we want freedom for everybody. Oh, well, we got to throw them in jail and get the IRS on them. Send in the ATF to make sure those guns are properly registered. And if they're not, they've got to be thrown in jail. Well, you want to know what my registrations, where my registration for my guns are, Mr. Government? It's in the Constitution. And if you don't know where it is in the Constitution, I suggest you find one and read it. I don't believe that these registering guns with the state, I believe that's unconstitutional. If we had a goddamn real Supreme Court, which I don't think we've had a real Supreme Court in this country, I don't know if we ever have. I don't know what the answer is to get a responsible Supreme Court. I don't know what that answer could possibly be, but it's definitely worth a conversation. It's definitely worth getting together and having a discussion on this and what we could do to get the right Supreme Court in there instead of just having the president nominate it. I don't know how you can find a way to get nonpartisan judges in the Supreme Court. I don't know how you'd be able to do that. So I don't know if that will ever be fixed. But if we have a responsible Congress, just a responsible Congress, can keep in check the executive branch and the judicial branch. Because the legislation starts with Congress. It's supposed to. Now, it doesn't work that way because Obama's got a pen. It's the pen branch, I guess. The fourth branch of government is Obama's pen. And I guess the fifth would be his phone. Democratic lawmaker. Let's find out what the hell happened here. I didn't get a chance to read this. But Democratic lawmaker to Mr. Clarence Thomas. We all know who Clarence Thomas is. Alabama State Representative Alan Holmes is no fan of Clarence Thomas. Well, nobody's a real fan of you either, Mr. Holmes. I don't know if you know this guy. He's just a piece of work. Look him up on YouTube. Alvin, A-L-V-I-N, kind of like the chipmunk. Alvin Holmes, H-O-L-M-E-S. This knucklehead up on YouTube. And you tell me. On Tuesday, the same day Mr. Thomas told an audience he is treated worse by northern liberal elites than he was growing up in the segregated South. Holmes took to the State House floor to make disparaging comments about the Supreme Court justice's marriage to a white woman. Oh, my God in heaven, a black man marrying a white woman. Jesus Christ! We can't have that. That's horrible. Firm believer in it. You know, I mean, men and women are men and women. If you fall in love with somebody and you can't help that their color's different than you, you know, I mean, I don't know what to say, but just don't fight it. I mean, nobody knows why the love bug bites you, but when it does, it does. It's nothing to be ashamed of. I mean, accept it. Let it in. The goddamn love bug bites you, then fine. The poison in. It won't hurt you. It's good poison. It's not bad poison. It's not toxic. After leaving the floor, Mr. Holmes, who was black, tried to walk back his comments about Thomas's marriage, but maintained that the only black Supreme Court justice is an Uncle Tom. Why? Because he married a white woman? He's conservative? That means he's an Uncle Tom. Well, I think I'm going to have to call you an Uncle Tom, Mr. Holmes, and let me explain why. You see, because the Republican Party was formed on the basis of civil rights. Maybe you didn't learn that. Maybe you were in the same history class as Mr. O'Reilly. Maybe Mr. O'Reilly taught you history. But the Republican Party was formed on the basis of civil rights. They were the abolitionists. They freed the slaves. But up until the mid-60s, when Johnson, that creep, was blatantly forced into signing this. He didn't want it. Kennedy didn't want to sign the Civil Rights Bill. He didn't want anything to do with it. His brother Bobby tried to get him into it, and only Bobby wanted it for votes. And Bobby Kennedy and Johnson hated each other, but he got Johnson to sign on to this frickin' thing because they coerced him and said, hey, look, we sign on to this, we're going to get the black vote. We're going to have the black vote every single time. We're going to win elections forever. But that's what they did. Guess what happened? They got the black vote. But what these black people don't understand is the majority of the Democrats, including Al Gore's father, voted against it. All them Southern Democrats voted against it. They didn't want anything to do with that civil rights. They couldn't give them Negroes any freedom. What, are you kidding me? Mr. Holmes, let me tell you something else. The KKK was formed by Democrats, not Republicans. The KKK was formed in a reaction to the Republican Reconstruction Acts. Maybe Mr. O'Reilly didn't teach that part of history to you. I don't know. But if anybody's an Uncle Tom, Mr. Holmes, it is you. The Democratic Party wants to keep the black people down. If the black man has any kind of power, guess what happens? Automatically, they're an Uncle Tom, and they're this, they're that, and everything else. Martin Luther King. Martin Luther King, Jr. The doctor, Reverend Martin Luther, I have a dream, King, Jr., was a registered Republican, Mr. Holmes. If Republicans are so racist and evil and all this, why was Martin Luther King Jr. a registered Republican? The Republicans were not the segregationists in the South, Mr. Holmes. They were primarily the Democrats. And you're going to call Mr. Thomas and Uncle Tom? You, sir, are the Uncle Tom. Asshole. And no, I'm not going to apologize. And no, I'm not going to put a penny in the cuss jar. You're going to call Mr. Thomas and Uncle Tom? How come you didn't apologize for that? Being called an Uncle Tom, I'm not black, but I'm sure in black people, when you get called an Uncle Tom, I'm sure it's pretty offensive. So if you're going to offend people, you're going to offend me with this kind of nonsense. I'm going to offend you back. That's how it works, Mr. Holmes. You offend me, I'm going to offend you back. You don't like it? Well, that's not my problem. Change your attitude first, and you'd be surprised how quickly mine will change. But you attack me, I'm going to attack you back. I don't care if it's right, wrong, good, bad, or indifferent. I don't care. I don't care what people think. But you attack me, I'm going to attack you back. That's the kind of guy I am, and I'm not about to change. I shouldn't have to, and I'm not going to. I'm going to feel my way, not your way. I'm going to live life my way, not your way. So we got all these stupid tweets on here, which I'm not going to go into these stupid tweets. We need to listen to all these people, these Twitter wars. I mean, this gets ridiculous, man. I'm sick of this crap. All these stupid Twitter wars. Get on Twitter. Send a tweet. I mean, get rid of this stupid Twitter, man. I'm sick of it. How do people sit there? I mean, why? Sit there all day? All day long. Just sit there and tweet and just wait for somebody to say something. Oh, look what Kim Kardashian's doing. Kim Kardashian's in the bathroom. Oh, my God, I got to tweet all my friends. Get a frickin' life, will you, please? All right, let's get into this corrupt convict now. He's no longer the mayor. He's now Convict Ray Nagin. I love the sound of that. I never liked that creep at the very beginning, man. I never liked that guy. That guy was filthy, dirty, rotten, just stinking nasty, man. The more of these corrupt people that we have going to jail in this country, the better. We need to get rid of this corruption in this country. Now, what happened with this convict, Ray Nagin? Why he got busted? He's a Democrat. He's a pretty big Democrat. He must have pissed off somebody in the Democratic Party. Otherwise, he'd be well protected. Something happened somewhere. This man did with Hurricane Katrina, and has the audacity to sit there and bitch and piss and moan about George Bush. First of all, this reporter, which, you know, reporters, they're not... I don't know what, you know, they're afraid to ask the right questions. They're afraid to probe. But he's interviewing Mr. Nagin after the water had receded. They're standing in front of this big garage that has all these buses and trucks and whatnot from the National Guard. And see, before the hurricane, you know, everybody was warned, get out, get out, get out, get out, get out. Well, convict Ray Nagin, he made sure he got his ass out. He made sure he got out of the storm's path. He was well taken care of. He didn't take care of his people in New Orleans, but he took care of himself. The National Guard had all these buses and trucks that they could have escorted people out of the city. First of all, why these people didn't leave the city? They had about a week notice. Why they didn't leave, I don't know. Sometimes it's hard for me to feel sorry for people who just don't take heed to warnings, especially a Category 5 hurricane. You got a Category 5 hurricane, even a Category 3, you live on the coast. You know that New Orleans is below sea level. Somebody tells you we got a big storm coming, you get your ass out of the goddamn city. Don't be stupid. So it's kind of hard for me to feel sorry for some of those people. It really is. I'm sorry. But this is what happens when you don't take heed. Just like with the right, we told you everything that was going to happen with this president, everything we told you was going to happen has happened. But we're the bad guys. So in any event, after it went out, he got out. He didn't escort anybody. He opened up the Superdome, but no food or no water. That makes sense. Why open up Superdome, but, you know, with no food or no water? That's logical. But all these buses, not one goddamn bus was used to escort anybody out of the city. Convict Ray Nagin, I'm sure he escorted out with the limousine. But anyway, the reporter was asking him this question. You can see all the trucks in the background are all covered with, you know, junk in the ocean and whatnot. And he says, well, you got all these buses and trucks here. Why didn't you use them to escort people out of the city? And then, of course, Nagin was like, he kind of stumbled a little bit, and he said, well, they were underwater. I couldn't use them. Yeah, it was a nice one there, Mr. Convict Nagin. But the reporter didn't follow up. And what he should have followed up on, he should have said, Mr. Nagin, those trucks were there before the storm hit. I think they were there like 3 or 4 days beforehand. He said, you could have used those trucks to escort those people out of the city, out of harm's way, but you didn't. You put them in a goddamn garage and you locked the doors. And you allowed the seawater to come in and you know, cover them. And then he blames, of course, Bush for his mistakes. And, of course, that governor, she did the same thing. There was a lot of problems that went wrong. The first problem is people just simply didn't take heed, which they should have. But see, you can't blame those people for that. They didn't take heed. Sure, fine. You think you can last through a storm? You're stronger than the storm? You're stronger than Mother Nature? You're not stronger than Mother Nature. You are not stronger than the ocean. I do know the power of the ocean. She's mighty. Well, you can't beat her. Period. Mother Nature is a big bitch. All right? You can't beat her. You have to be smart enough to understand when Mother Nature is angry, you need to get the hell out of her way. And if you don't, well, bad things are going to happen to you. It's hard for me to feel sorry for people who just simply don't take heed to warnings. So there was a lot of lessons learned on every angle. Yeah, the government learned a lesson. I'm sure... Well, George Bush, I'm sure he did learn a lesson. Should we have said something earlier? I mean, you could argue that all day long. But at the very beginning, we should have had these people out of there. Mr. Nagin should have made goddamn sure before he left his city that all the people that didn't have an opportunity to get out got out. But he didn't. He didn't execute any of that. He didn't make sure that people in his city got out of the way. It should have been done. So I'm glad you were found guilty. Well, let's find out really what really happened. So we've only got a couple of minutes here, and I just can't seem to stop digressing today. So let's stay focused, huh? Former New Orleans mayor, now convict Ray Nagin, who was thrust onto the national stage during Hurricane Katrina, we've already been over that, has been found guilty of 20 of 21 federal corruption charges. Sentencing is yet to come. Oh, God. Well, it depends on the judge what he's going to get. Nagin was found guilty of charges and accepted bribes, free trips, and other consideration from contractors in exchange for helping them secure millions of dollars in city work. Each of the charges carries a sentence of 20 years. I don't think he'll get that. But he did a lot of crazy stuff, you know, the aftermath of Katrina. I guess people with the sand contracts or concrete contracts and this and that. So he was taking bribes from, you know, people and so his friends could get these contracts. You know, kind of like what Obama did with the stimulus package. where all of his campaign donors and all of his friends and all of his union buddies, they wanted to get their money back, you know, for donating to a presidential campaign. So Obama comes up with an idea of a stimulus package. And instead of putting money into, you know, creating jobs, which you don't really have to put money into creating jobs. All you have to do is just allow businesses to conduct business. But so instead of using the money for the American people, he gives this close to $1 trillion pork sandwich to all of his friends so they can open up businesses and have no intention of conducting business. So when they go out of business, they can get a multi-million dollar bonus check. Union bosses got paid. Well, yeah. That's called cronyism. It's called corruption. Mr. Obama, Mr. Satoru, whatever name he really is. If you were to follow the letter of the law, the real law, yes, Mr. Satoru would be in the same position as Mr. Nagin. We don't have a responsible enough Congress. We don't have a Speaker of the House with a penis. So we're not going to get certain things that need to be done in order to get our country back on track. Each of the charges carries a sentence from 3 to 20 years. But how long Nagin will serve is unclear and will depend on a pre-sentence investigation. Blah, blah, blah. While Nagin was generally credited with leading the New Orleans in the aftermath of Katrina, he's also later criticized for failing to use hundreds of public buses to evacuate the city in advance of the devastating storm. See, I didn't even know that was in there. I knew that. I watched the interview live, and I just about flipped out of my frickin' skin. That piece of crap reporter, I mean, my God, I mean, it was right there. All he had to do was just ask the question. He wasn't thinking. And now he says that Nagin, later says he couldn't find any drivers. What about the drivers that dropped him off there? What are you talking about? He couldn't find any drivers. But he told a reporter that they were underwater. So was it that you couldn't find any drivers, or was it that it was underwater? See, it was a big lie. He didn't give a damn. He was too busy getting his ass out of the city. He wasn't concerned with his people in his city. He was concerned of himself. So Nagin will now remain free on bond until he waits his sentencing. The corruption charges that I read, I mean, there was just, I mean, it was ridiculous of what he was taking bribes, free trips, and for all these things. I mean, whatever, down on bond. All right, I've only got a couple of minutes left. We're going to have to finish the rest of this tomorrow. I want to get into this Eric Holder and this these laws that bar felons from voting are just too unjust to tolerate. Well, I'll let you mull on that for a while, and you think about that. And there's also another story we got to get in tomorrow, too. I had to deal with pedophilia. I can't find it on here, but we'll get into it. And there's a couple of other, the Joe Garcia new attack ad. We didn't get into that today, so we'll get into that tomorrow. And there's still a few other things. And, of course, we got 22 hours until the next program. Again, as long as there's one liberal on planet Earth, and you give them 22 hours, there's a lifetime of news. So we're not going to be short of anything to discuss. So thanks again for listening today, and I hope to see you back here tomorrow. Goodbye, everybody. You feel that?